Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. Come and see. It gets a little warm in here. We had our boilers fixed. Well, actually, we're all new boilers. We're ready to go for another 25 years, which is good. But we thought we had it on. There's two circulators back there, and one, there's a switch that goes between the two, and it had the valves open for one, and the other one turned on. And so when we came in here, it's more than 63 degrees. And so we turned the heat on. The problem is we have radiant heat in the floor. So it has to heat up the entire concrete slab underneath of you before it starts raising the temperature. So we only turned it up by 1 degree, but it has to heat the whole thing to come up to 1 degree. And then it shuts it off. But then by that time, the concrete slab is hot. So it keeps on heating the room. So there's this kind of overflow there. But anyway, so I apologize. I'm sitting up here sweating, but I always sweat. That's just who I am. But anyway, it gets a little hot. That's why. And so we're hoping it'll level out here in a little bit. Philippians chapter 4, if you will. And we're going to begin in verse number 4. Philippians was written by Paul the Apostle. He founded the church in Philippi because of being thrown into jail. He was in town, but really what got it all started when they threw him into jail. And, of course, you know, the jail shook. He was released, and the prisoner guard thought everybody was going to leave, and they didn't. And he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they went back to his house and explained to them the gospel of Jesus Christ and baptized the whole family, and boom, we had a church in Philippi. Started by that incident that they have here in Philip in the book of Philippians. But the fact is, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was sitting in jail again. How would you like to have a preacher in jail all the time? I don't know. But anyway, he was a pretty good guy, but he was in jail a lot. And when you talk about the book of Philippians, often people will do the whole series of messages, and they'll call this book by the verse in verse chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord." Now, it's one of those things, well, how in the world can anybody rejoice in the Lord? Because we know who the Lord is. Whatever your situation is right now, this is not the it. This is not what it's all about. This isn't the end of it. He takes us through a lot of tough times. Sometimes, listen, those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. So just say, "Well, I've been doing right." Well, that probably gets you in trouble too. But this is not all there is. The Lord is good. The Lord sees you through. And by the way, you go back to the Psalm 119. It says, "In thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me." But it says, "It's good that I've been afflicted because now I keep thy statutes." Listen, there's a lot of things we learn in the down times, in the valley times, that we learn an awful lot down there. And sometimes, in fact, we won't learn unless we ought to. We ought to just read a book and learn and heed it. We wouldn't have to go through a lot of those things. But there are some things where our hard-headedness that we have, we won't learn unless God takes us through the trials and makes us learn. And so he'll do that. You know why? He loves you because he wants you to learn. Same reason he chastens whom he loves as a father, just like we chasten our kids because we love them, want to train them, and help them to have a successful life. So we come to chapter 4, verse 4, and we have had, we've gone through so much. It comes to the end of this letter, and he says, in the middle of all that we've talked about, he says, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." He says, because I want you to praise the Lord. I want you to be happy in the Lord. And he said, let me say it again. In case you missed it, rejoice. Because the Lord's good. Then he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your patience," it looks like it's self-control, but it's really not self-control. It's a satisfaction, a peace being in the midst of God's control. Follow what I'm saying? He says, listen, you know what? Why can you be calm and level-headed? I'll tell you how. The Lord's right there. The Lord's at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Go back to verse 6, and I want you to listen to it carefully. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about things. Don't be anxious about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, here's the key words, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, if we will do that, it says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep, shall guard, shall protect, put a hedge around your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about praying with thanksgiving. Hang tight with me here. It'll be good. Praying with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come to your throne. It amazes me every time we bow our heads and realize we come into the presence of the Holy One, the presence of the Creator of the universe, the presence of one who is so great and so righteous and so true, and yet came so far to save someone like me. The old song said, such a worm as I. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the peace that you give us that passes all understanding. Thank you for the patience that you have with us. Thank you for the promises. And Lord, I pray that with just a little bit this morning, that we will indeed be able to approach your throne of grace with even greater confidence and thanksgiving. Lord, to be one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. And Lord, you use us. We need your Holy Spirit. I cannot convey your truths the way they should be conveyed and on the level that they should be conveyed and on the depth that they should be conveyed without your Spirit. So, Lord, fill me with your Spirit and help each one to be a Spirit-filled hearer. As we open your word, we ask in Christ's name, amen. Look at that verse 4 there with me one more time. Let's walk through that. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, he's saying we can always be happy, always have a joy. Now, that doesn't mean you like what's going on, but you can have a joy. He says we can rejoice always. He's not asking something that's outside of our reach, at least not outside of our reach with Christ. He says, we can be happy. And he said, well, how in the world can you do that? Look at verse 5. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Let that calmness, that self-assurance, that peace, that comfort. It's kind of like, you know, first time you got scared and you kind of grabbed hold of mom and dad's hand and everything was okay. Or maybe you jumped into their lap or jumped up into their arms and, okay, it's all right. And you almost smiled, even though there were scary things going around, you smiled because you were in the arms of that one who loves you, that one who protects you. He says, let the moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We can always stay calm. We can always be cool and level-headed because he's always here. I've told you my story about my panic attack. You know, I call it my wife's one-minute sermon. It takes me 45 minutes to preach. But I went from, to a peace and a calm. That's been 12 years ago now. Simply because my eyes needed to be focused on him, not on the storm, not on the waves. We can have a peace. Listen, there's an awful lot I'm going to talk about tonight. You need to come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about the shield of faith. You need to come back tonight. I'm telling you, you need to come back tonight. We are shooting ourselves in the foot. We are punching holes in our faith by ripping pages and truths out of the Word of God. and we are causing ourselves, we're setting ourselves into society. No wonder people are going bananas. No wonder they have problems. No wonder they have fears. There's a lot of scary stuff out there. It's not about denying what's out there. It's about facing it in the power of God. My moderation can be known because, hey, the Lord is at hand. He's right there. My wife, I mentioned this, I preached this for, actually got some senior adults. I was mentioning this, and my wife and I, we had a phone up in our bedroom, one of those wireless phones. After a while, the batteries just, it just seems like they just die. And you put batteries in it, and it just doesn't seem to do it. And so we finally threw that out. We've had that thing for, 15 years or 20 years, or what, it's been a long time, before we moved up here. And so she bought one of those, all these little satellite ones, you know. And so now we've got two sets of satellite phones. We've got phones everywhere. And I got one right next to my easy chair. I don't even have to get out of the easy chair to pick up the phone now. It's right there. It rings. Oh, boy, I'll get it. It's right at hand, that quick. Just reach out, take it. It's in your hand. The Lord is so close. He's right at hand. In fact, he's right here. Huh? If you know him as Savior, he's right there. He's in your heart. He says, be careful for nothing. He goes on and says, listen, we don't have to worry and be anxious. That word careful, full of care. But in everything, look, by prayer and supplication, that means to petition him, even beg, but it means to come to him. We can take everything to God because the Lord is at hand. And we can get him in a breath. The prayer is only a breath away. It's right there. He's right there. He says, with everything by prayer and supplication, watch it, with thanksgiving. And then it says, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We kind of roll right past that little word, with thanksgiving. When we pray, he's saying we should do so with thanksgiving. With, meaning accompanying, amid the rest of the things. It's amid a rest. It's a thanksgiving with gratitude and a grateful attitude. Let me say one other statement. Dwight Pentecost says that prayer is utter dependence upon God. It's kind of the living out our utter dependence upon God. By the way, prayer is the prayer of the upright is his delight. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when we exercise faith through prayer, it's good. You're not bothering him. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get worn. Oh, they are again. Sorry to bother you, God. What do you mean you're sorry to bother you? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, let me get in my yoke and let me carry you along. That's what he's saying. So your yoke's hard. Mine's not. He's asking us to be with him. Now, let me give you the first thing here. I want you to understand here. My fan is really going to it here. Ah, there it was. That's better. Thankfulness in the process of prayer means you already believe that you shall have the petition. Let me say that again. Thankfulness, he says we're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. Thankfulness in the process, the context of prayer, really means that in your heart you know that you already have the petition that you ask. When Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, it says that he thanked the Lord that you hear me. He prayed that Lazarus would come out. Lord, take care of these things. God, take care of these things. His Father, and I thank you that you hear me because you always hear me. But I say it so that everybody else could hear it. You could hear me say it. You go back and read it. Now he said, of course, you always do that. You always hear my prayers because I always do that which you is your will. And God answers according to his will. I understand that. But he thanked him already. Lazarus hadn't walked out of the tomb yet. Watch. Thanksgiving in prayer shows faith in prayer. Prayer itself shows faith in God. A lot of times when I'll sit down with somebody and I'll lead them through the Romans road, we say, the gospel, and give them the death, burial, and resurrection. We're all sinners. Because we're sinners, we deserve death and hell. Jesus died and paid for all our sin, and if we'll trust Him with our heart, He'll save us. That's it. That's the gospel. And there's a lot of times when I get to the very end there, I'll tell them, you know, He hears what you're praying. He knows what you're saying. He wants to answer your prayer. We can pray it with thanksgiving. Isaiah 65:24 says this, "And it shall come to pass," watch this, "that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Jeremiah 33:2 says, "Thus saith the Lord, maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is His name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I remember one day I came to this realization. God is eternity past, eternity future. He always was, always will be. He is the I am. He self-exists. Now the fact is, you say, well, all right, well, I should have prayed about this, but I guess it's too late now. But see, it's not. Watch this. God knew before the foundation of the world that you were going to be born. He knew that you're going to be here today. He knew that you're going to be in that mess that you're going to be in next week. And He knew that you were going to pray. So He's already got it lined up. If it's something He's going to answer, He already knows. He's got it all lined up. So it's too late. This and this and this has to happen. Well, He's probably, if you pray and He's going to answer it, He's already got that all in the works. You follow me? Kind of fries your circuits, doesn't it? The reason many of us do not pray with thanksgiving is because we really don't expect God to do anything. Well, let's just kind of throw it out there and see what happens. We don't expect God to do anything. We just pray, I hate to say it, sometimes we just pray to make ourselves feel a little better until we figure out things on our own. Prayers like that are not going to see God do a whole lot. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Well, I think we believe in God, but I'm really not sure. I think I'm going to try this, but I'm not going to. It's going to drive you bananas. It's going to make you insane. I'm crazy. No, we're just unstable because we're not willing to trust Him fully. Now, I'm going to give you several things here. I'm going to start with number two. From here is really starting on number one if you want to. You can decide what you want, but I'm going to call it number two. When we pray, we're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. Let me ask you this. Are you thankful for the privilege of prayer? Are you thankful for the privilege of prayer? And some people say, well, I'm supposed to be thankful for prayer, but He hasn't done anything yet. I'm supposed to go with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, rejoice in the Lord, now I'm praying, but how can I be thankful if He hasn't done anything? Well, can you be thankful for the fact that you get to go to His throne? We can come boldly to the throne of grace. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You are not thankful for the privilege of prayer if you don't really believe prayer works. We kind of dupe ourselves sometimes. We come to the throne of grace. It's the mercy and the grace of God. Think about what Jesus gave up and what He endured to bring us to the privilege to come into His presence. We can obtain mercy. In other words, we're not getting the punishment, if you will, that we deserve. We can have grace. Not only do we not have to go to hell, we get heaven. We had breath today. We're living another day. We don't deserve that. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. As soon as we sin, He should have cast us into hell. But He says, I'm going to meet you in mercy. There's truth, but He's going to meet you in mercy. He's going to provide for us. He provided the payment for our sin. We can go to Him and be seen as righteous, paid in full because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the privilege to go to the throne of grace. It's amazing how many people who don't have anything to do with God all of a sudden finding themselves in a very difficult situation. And you know what they'll do? They'll cry out to God. And you know why? Because down in the depths of their heart, even knowing how much they have walked away from Him, they know that He's merciful. What do you know? Maybe He'll show us His mercy. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. He gave us the open door to prayer, to the throne. One mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. Not only does he make it possible, but He wants us to pray. Proverbs 15:8 says this, the sacrifice, the worship, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So I don't want to hear it. That's what He's saying. You go do your own thing. He said, you want to worship Me? You want to praise Me? Do what you were created to do. Do right. But He says, listen, He says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. He can't wait to hear you pray. You hear what I'm saying? He cannot wait to hear you pray. He wants you to pray. He wants you to open up the door to heaven. He wants us to knock and say, Lord, will You? Listen, because without faith it's impossible to please God. So what pleases God? Faith. And what's prayer? It's the living out of faith. It's that utter dependence upon God. Jeremiah, I've read it already, but the Lord saith, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish the Lord, has called unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Are you thankful for the privilege of prayer? Number two, are you thankful for the power of prayer? Think about it. Are you thankful for the power of prayer? He says, call unto Me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, prayer is the unleashing of all the forces of heaven. Can you wrap your brain around that? Prayer is the unleashing of all the forces of heaven. Hebrews 4:16 says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace and we may obtain mercy. Come boldly. Boldly. He said, we can come. We've got great things. We can find that grace. We can find the miracle working power of God. That's what grace is. He says, I will show you great and mighty things. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you pray, it unleashes all the powers of heaven. Are you thankful for the privilege of prayer? Are you thankful for the power of prayer? Number four for us, are you thankful for the promise of prayer? The promise of prayer. I kind of read it already here for you, but listen. He answers before we ask. It shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. He wants to hear your prayers. He loves it's His delight Psalm 86, if you want to look at it with me real quick, you could. Psalm 86, verse 1. Psalm 86, verse 1. It says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy." It says, "I have nothing." Verse 2. Psalm 86, 2. "Preserve my soul, for I am holy." In other words, set apart unto you. You're the one. You're it. I'm not going anywhere else. "O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Promise of prayer. He says, knock and keep knocking. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. So why do you have to ask and ask and ask and seek and seek and seek and knock and knock and knock and knock? To show you where your faith is. Sometimes to show somebody else where your faith is. I know he's got the answer, I'm just going to keep asking for it. Getting to be Christmas time, and I remember as a kid asking my mom, "Now where's she?" She always had these little tins with a Courier knife, pictures on the front, little metal tins, and they were always full of chocolate chip cookies. "Where are the cookies, Mom?" "Where are the cookies, Mom?" Just keep asking. Just keep asking. And of course, when the time came, I got some cookies. Of course, it's usually on her times, not my time. But anyway, just keep asking. There's a promise of prayer. The answer is there. By the way, John R. Rice used to say this: pray until you get the answer or until God changes your prayer. Be sensitive. Pray until you get the answer, until God changes your prayer, and then he'll give you the answer to your prayer. The right answer. "Oh, Lord, give me a new Cadillac. Oh, Lord, I need a new Cadillac. Oh, Lord, I need a new Cadillac." Now, you need a car to get back and forth to work. Don't need a new Cadillac. Now, the Lord bless you. You can have a Cadillac. Have a Cadillac. That's fine. But if you can't afford a car, what you need is a car. Now, if you're only three blocks away from work and a block and a half from church, well, then you don't need a car. Walk. There's a promise of prayer. There's a privilege of prayer. There's a power of prayer. There's a promise of prayer. I'll give you number five here. Are you thankful for the peace that comes from prayer? Get ready to pray. And sometimes Merle has said it so often, prayer is really not about getting. That's kind of a byproduct of prayer. Prayer is really about him getting us to him. My mom fixes dinner. Well, this way it has happened. We go down about once or twice a month now just because it's good, better on her and so forth. But the fact is, she knew if she fed us every Friday night, we'd come down and visit her. Now, we'd go down anyway. But, you know, a little extra coercion is okay. You know what God says? "I want you to come to me." We are so selfish that if we weren't needy, we wouldn't bother with him. Go down, dig down deep. Everybody take your halos off and come to church with me. If there wasn't this God-sized hole that only God can fill, I wouldn't bother with him. If it wasn't the fact that there wasn't problems, we probably wouldn't even seek him. But he created us to have a relationship with us. Now the fact is, what we should do is say, "You know what, I'm going to visit him every day. And, you know, while I'm there, you know, he says we should trust him for our daily bread and to lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil and, you know, those kind of things. But also starts out there that thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your authority is what I want. He wants us to come. But the fact is, when we come and we give it to him, we find out that he's at hand, there's a peace that comes unlike any other peace. Go back to our passage there in Philippians 4. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace, the quiet rest. A quiet rest. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. When I'm with him, everything's all right. Let me see if I can find this here. I think I know where it is here. Well, I knew it was right nearby there. There we go. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release, near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Rejoice evermore, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, the quiet rest that goes beyond, it holds us beyond, it holds us above all that we know is true. We understand the circumstances. We understand the helplessness, even hopelessness. And yet there's a peace that passes understanding that goes beyond that because the Lord's at hand. Why should I care? There's a peace of place of quiet rest. He says, and all it says that the past understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. I like this word keep. It's like having, have you ever watched one of those old Westerns? You know, and I was out in California this week, and they must have done some of those old movies right out there in those deserts. I mean, it's just wild stuff. Dirty, dusty, stone in the middle of nowhere. Just it's I don't know, looks like Death Valley. Of course, they're not very, very far from Mojave Desert right there. It's awful. But remember those old movies, and they send out a scout. Sometimes an Indian scout, sometimes a cowboy scout. But they send out a scout to find out what's going on. That's what the word keep. Shall keep your hearts in Christ Jesus. That word keep has the idea of a scout. The Lord's out there whose eyes are looking to and fro to see whom he can show himself mighty on their behalf. He's scouting out. I gave my day to the Lord, and the Lord's scouting. He's going ahead of me. He's looking out before me. He's taking care of the need. The peace that passes all understanding. Watch this. There's a peace. When we give it to him, there's a peace that you get before the problem occurs. So when the problem happens, it doesn't take you off guard. You're ready to meet the problem in peace. See, we would have waited. Oh, no, I mean, there's a problem. I guess I better go ahead and pray. In the meantime, we're so worried about the problem. We're having a hard time praying. And we're not even thanking him for it because we're scared of what's going on. And he said, keep your hearts, your feelings, your emotions, your intellect, your mind, your perceptions, your disposition through Christ Jesus. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The peace, your heart, your mind. How can he be level-headed in the midst of all these problems? Because I've given to him, he's at hand. I did this in Sunday school. I gave it away. I have seen people. Okay, I had a lady years ago who said, it was down in Maryland, I was a pastor, and she says, I'm tired of going to church with all these hypocrites. What do you mean hypocrites? Oh, they all go to church and say, oh, yeah, everything's fine, and everything's not fine. Well, everything's all right in my Father's house. They act like they don't have any problems. I also have heard people say, well, the reason you can smile and rejoice, Lord, because you don't have any problems. Well, we all have problems. We all have things going on in our lives. Besides the fact, and I'm not complaining, but a lot of you give them to me. Not that you're the problem, but you get, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant. Don't go there. No, I'm saying you've got a problem, and you come to me, and you're looking for issues, and you're trying to find answers and questions, and so, you know, I'm trying to help you, so now your problem's kind of my problem. That's okay. I'm not complaining. We say, well, how in the world do you, I had a lady come to me this morning. She says, I don't know how you and your wife handle the things that you handle. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't have any problems. Well, no wonder. No, I don't have any problems. I'll tell you why I don't have any problems. I get a problem. I did this. I'll come back to you again. I take my problem and I give it to the Lord. I don't have any problem. I don't possess the problem anymore. I took the problem and I gave it to him. He has my problem. Now, that doesn't mean there's not issues. You don't have any problem? Oh, yeah, I've got, oh, there's all kinds of things coming to me, but my job is to give it to him. The problem's not mine now. You give it, and the peace that passes, you say, well, then you're not taking care of it. I took it to the best guy I know. I've said this too. Listen, years ago, I used to take care of my own car and all the mechanics and change the oil and all this stuff. And then they put it all in put everything in one little corner like this. And you gotta find like this and reach like this to get the oil filter off. And I'd say, fill you with that. And so I take it to somebody else. I don't even think about it. I take it down to Alan. He takes care of it, and I go back and I pick it up. He said, well, we got a little bit of problem here. What are we gonna do? Well, it's gonna cost us. Okay. Why don't you worry about it? God knows the problem. I gave it to the guy who knows how to fix it. What am I supposed to do? Worry about it all day? I've got the best physician right here. He gives me a peace that passes understanding. Now listen to me. I'm going to stop here. He says, I'll give you a quiet rest. Now wait a minute. This is not something we've trumped up. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace. My kind of peace, he's saying. My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Some of you are trying to get peace at the bottom of a bottle, or the end of a needle, or being in front of a computer screen, or shopping. I just got to get away and go shopping. I had a professor in college who said that going to the mall was a religious experience. And you know what? I laughed and laughed just like, but that's the truth for some people. There's a peace and a rest going into this artificial environment. And we pretend we can do and buy whatever we want right there. It's always sunny. It's always dry. Everybody's always friendly. They always like me. I'm going to go to the mall. That's the peace the world gives. That doesn't work when it really gets bad. That might work a little while when you just have to get out of the house because you've had three preschoolers going all day. But that's not the peace we need. There's something deeper. And the peace he gives is deeper. Are you thankful for the privilege of prayer? Are you thankful for the power of prayer? Are you thankful for the promise of prayer? And are you thankful for the peace that comes from prayer? When you go to God in prayer, have faith. Jesus said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things shall he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, ye shall have them. Now that's put it in context when he says, you know, if you pray in my will, you'll have it. If your will's lost in his will, then you'll have the right will. And you'll pray for the right things, and it'll give you exactly what you need. Now, if you have faith, you will already be thankful, even before you have the answer. Too many Christians walk around with long faces so long, you could throw it out the door and make a fire escape out of it. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord's at hand. There's no need for panic attacks. We may have all had them. There's no need for panic attacks. The Lord's at hand. Rejoice. The Lord is at hand. He's only a prayer away. There's no need of what? There's no need of flying off the handle. The Lord's at hand. I'm going to commit it to him that judges righteously. There's no need of living life in fear. The Lord's at hand. Pray with thanksgiving because of who we pray to. Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. All that he says he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Thankful for prayer, praying with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of coming to you in prayer. Lord, I hope everyone in here realizes we can go to prayer with a smile on our face, knowing that you have the answer, you have the hope. You have the help that we're looking for. And Lord, if there's something that we're praying that's not in your will, Lord, I pray that you'll change our prayer. Help us to draw closer to you. Thank you for that honor and privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, the promise of prayer, and the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. In Christ's name, amen.